We are honored to have in our studio this afternoon Gene Walker. And Gene is, you know, and I want to say this. We have this saying about, you know, you need to have flowers while you're here.
Yeah, the Southern saying is, give me my flowers while I'm living.
And, you know, and quite honestly, I do think that you are an undersung hero of jazz and of the saxophone. And one of the reasons we have you here today is because we want to learn more, not only about jazz, but about you, because you are a man who has furthered the cause, advanced music and jazz. You have been an ambassador of jazz to, you name it, folks in this community, folks in this country, and around the world. And so, if ain't nobody else recognizing that, and I'm sure that there are, because I know that there are a worldwide group of folks who just love what you do. But, you know, we want to make sure that you understand this is like your crib. This is your home. And people here recognize you. I mean, you're the king.
Yeah, we appreciate you, Gene.
You're the king.
We appreciate you.
Well, thank you very much. You know, Mayor Mike Coleman introduced me not too long ago at one of our performances.
Mm-hmm.
And he said some similar stuff to that.
Yeah.
And
he got that from me.
You know,
yeah, he stole Casey's
if
notes.
If I hear that one more time, I'll begin to believe that stuff.
But it's true. It's really true. I mean, you know, you have just done so much.
Yeah. Well,
for the world of music, and you know, if you don't have music in your life, and Jack and I talk about this often, you know, there are lots and lots of, there are millions of folks, I'm sure, who have no music in their life. We are. So very blessed to have music in our lives and to be listening and having conversation, you know, to be commiserating with one of the main purveyors of music, a guy who's helped music, has been through all the changes. And, you know, Jack was talking a few minutes ago about where's my copy of Friends? Because he wanted his copy, because that copy has the picture of you and the Beatles. You know, and other than the promo, I don't know how many folks know, you know, that you were there. We've seen pictures of you, you know, with the Beatles, with some of the stuff that you brought through here before. So, I mean, it's just recognizing. We want to make sure you know that you recognized as the leader in music that you are.
But, you know, Casey, now, I'll tell you, one of the things that happened was that I traveled to Germany. Well, mm-hmm. We did a lot of traveling in Europe. In fact, the 90s were just full of travel. But here recently in 2007 and 2008, I traveled to Europe with a local guitar player whose name is Sean Carney.
Mm-hmm.
And we went into Germany and we took blues into the classroom. And we were the first ones to do that.
Really?
In Germany. Uh-huh.
That's yeah. Wonderful.
And we got before all these students, and these were college students.
Mm-hmm.
And we, you know, taught them and played for them and all that. And I like that.
Yeah.
I like that.
You like giving.
I feel you, yeah. And I feel we can carry our jazz and our blues on if we participate in to that degree.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
I'm playing with a group now which is called the American Jazz Experience, and we go into the elementary schools and play, and it's a quintet, features Bobby Floyd,
mm-hmm.
Dave DeWitt, Joe Ong, and our leader, Jim Masters. And Jim does the narrations and whatnot. And I put up the signs because mm-hmm. we have a signboard and,
okay.
For the kids so that they can hear some kind of an alternative to what they're hearing usually,
yeah.
You know, in the media.
Which generally, you know, I mean, mainstream popular music in America, or not necessarily mainstream, but hip-hop, which is now has reached worldwide recognition as a music genre. You know, you have that, but unfortunately, a lot of that doesn't have people playing instruments. There is no, you know, there are some folks who elevate hip hop to its highest form, but there's a lot of it that doesn't make that. So, and I think I pretty much understand what you're saying. Is that, you know, to bring in the type of music you play, to bring in jazz, blues and gospel tinged jazz, you know, just elevates the whole thing to some degree. Mm-hmm. You know, whereas, you know, I wish that we had more hip hop artists who could play instruments as well. You know, that to me increases their value. Jack, you want to say something?
Yes, you were talking about hip hop and the fact that there's an absence of instrumentation in it. I was just trying in my mind to figure out, I said, when's the last time I heard a saxophone in hip hop? I can't remember hearing a saxophone in hip hop.
Yeah.
That Kanye and Jay-Z recently sampled Otis Redding, but it's just his vocals. But the thing that's so wonderful about having Gene here is that he's gone through every phase of evolution of music over the last 60 years since he started as a wee tot playing around 10, 12 years old. I hope I'm not revealing too much that you're in your 70s now.
Yeah, 73.
73. So he's gone through all these generations. He's still with us. And he even went through the Beatles generation. And you were able to work with King Curtis. Tell us about that experience. You were in New York. Let's jump back to where we left off when Gene was talking about where he went to New York. Mm-hmm. Now you bumped into this guy named Jimi Hendrix who was like ripping off your boy Homer. So what was the New York scene like when you were there in the mid-60s?
I went to New York with the Chris Colombo Quintet. And Chris Colombo, of course, was Sonny Payne's father, the great drummer with the Basie Band.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
And Chris was a great drummer himself. And Gil Askey was in the band, who later got a nomination for Academy Award for Lady Sings the Blues. And Earl Van Dyke was on organ, who was the head of the Funk Brothers at Motown.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Yeah. So, but we were all there in New York, and Johnny Hammond Smith came into a session. We made an album called Rediscovering Old Favorites, and Johnny Hammond sat down and played Summertime, and it was just magnificent, and that made the whole CD. But now the scene in New York at that time was that it wasn't a scene for me because we went on a road with Jackie Wilson and we went traveling all down south and just all over the place. And we did 57 one-nighters in a row.
Wow, 57 one-nighters.
Yeah, well, the way we did that was that Jackie had a tune out called A Woman, A Lover, A Friend when we started out. Then we had another tune called Dogging Around.
Oh, yeah.
Which was, everybody loved that.
You better stop.
Yeah, that's it. And so we had to go back to some of the places that we'd already played because they wanted to hear Jackie sing that. Yeah. And then we kept going. And then another piece came out. It was a crossover piece called Night. It was a Rachmaninoff number. And they put words to it, and Jackie sang that. And then everybody wanted to come out and catch that. So we got to, where were we? We were in Alabama. We're at, what's that famous town in Alabama?
Birmingham. Uh-oh. Birmingham. It was Birmingham back then. Whoa.
So the guy said, okay, the band's in town. We're in a hotel and everything. And they tell Jackie, well, you know, the black people will be up high.
In the balcony. That's what they used to do in the South. Make the white, you know, African-Americans sit in the balcony.
Be on the floor. And Jackie told him, he says, no, they won't. He says they were coming in, and they're all going to be together or we're not going to play. So these promoters got together, and Jackie called us on the phone and said, get ready to go out and travel. We're getting ready to go back to Atlanta. And these promoters, they straightened it out, and they had everybody come in there together. And boy, they had the greatest time that they'd ever had.
I did not know that story about Jackie Wilson. Yeah. I know that. I knew that Sam Cooke had done some things like that, saying he's not going to play unless there's an integrated mm-hmm. crowd. But I did not know about Jackie Wilson.
Yeah. He was one
See,
of
we're
the
learning
first
so much, Casey.
That
this
day.
Is. I mean, are we recording this? Yeah, good.
My head's getting fat.
Well, Jackie was
Andrea.
Was a wonderful performer. I learned all my music by heart, so I wouldn't have to read any music when Jackie was on stage, because I just liked to watch him. And he come out and dance and sing, and he danced and sang all through his act.
Well, that
until
was
until his act was over.
Well, that was Michael Jackson's inspiration. He said Jackie Wilson was really the person that inspired him.
Mm-hmm.
Now, from Jackie Wilson, how did you get to King Curtis?
Well, Chris Colombo Quintet, we went to Atlantic City for that summer. We went to, that was a 65, mm-hmm. and we were going to play Club Harlem for the summer. So King Curtis calls me on the phone, and he says, hey, man, I want you to go on the tour with us. And I said, wait a minute, I can't do that. I just sat down here with Chris. He says, offer Chris some money, and it was successful. And he said, Chris told me, he says, well, I accept the money, but you got to get somebody in your place. So I called up in Philadelphia, and it just so happened that Jimmy Heath, the great Jimmy Heath, came down and took my place.
Took your place.
For a 14-day tour. Yeah. And Jimmy Heath and I, we laugh about that nowadays, you know, but that was serious back then, you know.
Oh, yeah.
There's a lot of money going around. So, but it was tremendous.
So King Curtis snatched you out of Chris's band. You call up Jimmy Heath. Jimmy Heath fills in for you. He backfills for you at Jersey, and you get on a plane with the Beatles.
Yeah. And Jimmy Heath played the gig very well, and then you know, when I came back, I'm back in the band.
So where did you play? You said it was a 12-date tour, 14-date tour?
14-day tour, yeah.
Where did you go?
Our first performance was in Shea Stadium. Of course, you know about that.
Oh, yeah, we do.
Yeah, 65,000 people there, mostly screaming girls.
Yes.
Could they even hear you? Could they hear you, Gene?
Yeah, you couldn't even hear yourself. You couldn't hear yourself, and, you know, I mean, it was just, the sound was devastating. In fact, if I'd known it was going to be like that, I'd have bought some earplugs. But they managed to damage my ears a little bit. You know, with that. We went to Wrigley Stadium in Chicago, and we played the Hollywood Bowl two nights. And that really damaged my ears, because they all hollered down in this bowl. And while you're standing on stage, and when they hollered, you know, in there, well, then it just rages havoc on your ears.
Really?
Yeah.
So it wasn't the fact that you had all these, you know, these high-tech amplifiers and all that stuff and all the monitors and stuff.
It tens of thousands of teenage girls.
Screaming.
Yeah, you couldn't even hear that. You couldn't hear that high-tech stuff. Beatles brought that high-tech stuff with them from England, and it was called Vox.
Yes.
Yeah.
And they gave all of us, you know, Vox instruments and things. It gave King Curtis a guitar and, you know, different piano. They hooked up the piano.
That electric Vox piano. I remember seeing those things.
Yes, yeah.
And it had the, it was turned out, it was turned in towards the pianist.
Mm-hmm.
And then when we got to Chicago, they had the Vox people come out and turn the speaker around, so it was going out into the audience. Yeah.
Now the Vox piano was a precursor or sort of like a sibling to the Fender Rhodes? It was it before the Fender Rhodes? I think it might have been.
It was a little bit before the Fender Rhodes, yeah. And then after that, you began to hear a lot of Fender Rhodes.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
Now I have in my hand, Casey, Andrea, a picture of Gene on a plane, you know, looking like you're all about 23 years old.
Yeah.
And you're behind, ironically, the two surviving Beatles, Paul and Ringo. Where was that picture taken, Gene?
I don't know where it was taken, but King Curtis told me to get in the picture. He had a camera, and he took this picture.
Oh, so King Curtis took that picture.
He took the picture, and then I have another picture with George
and John
Lennon. Yeah. Uh-huh. And, you know, King Curtis had the foresight to tell me to get in the picture.
You didn't know if these guys were going to last or not, did you?
No. I know. It's just another gig to me. You know, it was lucrative, but, you know, it was just another gig in my quest to be a musician.
Well, I hear that John Lennon was pretty fair, too, just like Jackie Wilson. I heard that he would not play any places that had segregation in their contracts. Is that true? I heard that John was not very keen to play any place where they were going to separate the races and the people.
Oh, I'm not sure about
that. Well, I read that recently, and I think it was Mojo Magazine, a Brit magazine. But we also wanted to get back and bring it full circle to when you came back to Columbus and you were playing with Hank Marr. We have one of KC's, everybody's favorite Hank Marr tunes, Bluesin' and Cruisin', that we'd like to wrap up with.
Do you remember when Judy brought this?
Oh, yeah.
Gave it to us?
Yeah.
Now, tell me a bit about what happened at this recording session. You said this was recorded before Hank's death?
Yeah, and it wasn't released until after Hank died.
Yeah.
So it the company who put it out was in Indiana, and they haven't done much to promote this particular album. And they really should, because the music is excellent.
It's a fine
superb.
Album.
Superb. Yeah. And, well, we're promoting it here. We're promoting it here on Jazz
Hank,
Sunday.
Hank wrote most of the tunes on there. There are a few standards, but Hank was the composer on most of those tunes.
Casey and Gene, I have to interrupt. We're getting tweets and emails. Somebody said, "Hail King Sax out of Tucson." That's one of your nicknames, King Sax, isn't it, Gene?
Yes.
Didn't let us know about that, huh?
That's what I'm. That's what I'm known as in Europe.
Really?
Yeah.
Kings. All right.
Mm-hmm.
Well, the album's called Bluesin' and Cruisin'. It's Hank Marr, Bluesin' and Cruisin', with special guest Janie Ebersole. And this features Gene Walker. You're on alto on this, Gene?
On alto on You've Changed.
Let's give a listen to You Change.